The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is April 11th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorinex.com. Unleash your strength and relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. That is Steven Santangelo's company, who's a regular on here every month, too. Contact him at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Another good friend of the show, and I've known him for quite a while, long before this, is John Wood. GrasslandBeef.com, loaded with CLAs and omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished, also grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. 8xClub.com, their adjustable exercise clubs and maces. They're made, these competition clubs and maces are made for the AKA Vintage Strength Games, and I do believe at the end of this month we're going to have a contest with Donnie and 8X Club, and we are going to be giving them away to some lucky winner. But I haven't got full confirmation, but it's in the works. So just to let everybody know, StrongerGrip.com, they've been around for 10 years. They've made quality equipment for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestlers. You've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard training strength-seeking people like yourselves. Also, the three biggest things out on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. It's a free ebook. All you have to do is give me your email address and download it. Very simple. Commit and take action. Eric Gutman and I were talking about all that yesterday. Simplicity, basic. It still is the best way to build that foundation, which is so vital and important to you. So go out there and check that out. Also, too, the two biggest products to date is Strength Times Power Equals Success, the Winner's Circle. They're both studs, believe me. If you want to go out and take a chance on yourself and spend some money that's going to really add up for you, go out to the Fiorello Barbell Co. and take a gander at both of those. Everything's been done here on premises. Nobody writes my content, and surely nobody does my workout. So, you know, that's where it's all coming from. And if you go out and just read about them, I'm sure it'll definitely make you think a little bit. So go out there for that. Also, too, right now, obviously, sponsorship is gigantic. We're only charging $500 a month. Most people, I went out and looked, they charge double or triple or even more than what we do. Nobody's doing 5 to 15 shows like me out there. And obviously, both sites are dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who had muscular dystrophy. And we haven't got together with him yet. Once I can get freed up from some things, we'll find out where they want to put the donations next. It's been flu shots. The way it's been around here, though, I'm sure they're probably still getting them. You know, one day it's 60, like today I think it's about 30, it's going to go up to 40, and rain all day. We had snow, like 6 or 7 inches of snow last week. So, you know, we'll get back on with them and see what they want to do. But come on in with us. We're going to be around for 25 years at least and be part of the millions that are part of this show and family. Also, I just want to say one thing before. I have Mike Gillette on, and I couldn't be happier because Mike's on every month with us. But I want to just tell everybody something now, and I was telling Mike this offline. Be very careful, especially when you're involved in what we do with websites and things of that nature. Make sure you really keep an eye on what's going on. Now, I know it's very hard when you're concentrating, in my case, with all the stuff on the home site, with blogging and every other thing we're doing there. And, of course, these podcasts are huge. You know, to put a podcast out for you to listen to, it's an hour minimum, and if we don't have any Skype issues where I've got to take and join the pieces all together. You know, you could be talking an hour and a half or more. So what I'm saying is it's great to be involved and do the best you can with what you do, you specialize in. But I've had some stuff, and I've had to make some big changes. Well, I want to just tell you something. The provider that was doing it took and moved both of my sites under their name. And if in case you know, no one's figuring that out, that means they own you. So be very careful what you're doing. I just want to tell everybody that because they could literally take your business and you, I don't know, you could take them to court. How are you going to prove it? I don't know. I just want to tell everybody, just be very cautious when you deal with people and be very, ask the right questions, et cetera, et cetera. Mike, I'm going to give you a little bit about Mike Gillette today, and we're going to bring Mike right in. Mike is he's an Army paratrooper, SWAT commander, bodyguard to Fortune 500 executives, a record-breaking strong man. I'll tell you another thing. Motivational is to say the least. I mean, that's his whole gig, writer and author. And we're going to talk about procrastination today. And Mike, welcome to the show. It's good to have you back.
Always great to be with you, Eric. Thank you.
You're welcome. Give anybody anything I missed, bio-wise.
Well, I think that buried between some of the resume entries that you mentioned is that throughout the duration of my professional career, I've really been, in my own mind, a teacher. And I taught law enforcement and military personnel throughout the duration of my law enforcement years. I actually left that line of work in 2001 and did nothing but train people for 5 years or so. I was the director of training at UNLV's Institute for Security Studies, trained, I think, over the years, tens of thousands of people, written curriculum for the United States government that is still in use, still in the public domain. People are accessing that information. I teach one-on-one mental performance skills. I coach in group contexts. I teach people I've never met. I've got products like Motivation Muscle does that are sold all over the world. So I reach a lot of people that way. That's really the thing that you know, despite the stuff that sort of grabs people's attention and sounds really interesting, what I like to do most, what I get the most satisfaction from doing is teaching people how to be better.
Oh, absolutely. And this is going to be something that I hope today we're going to be able to give them a little silver lining here. Procrastination, Mike. You know what? Give out your website, too. We didn't give that out.
Oh, sure. My home site, MikeGillette.com, MikeGillette.com, is a great place for people to go and connect with me. A lot of free content there, blogs and so forth, all really geared towards, you know, encouraging people. It's kind of like going there and reading that content is like having me in a room just shouting encouragement at you. And shouting would be the operative word. That's also where people can find my social media channels, YouTube, all of those sorts of things too, and just a great way to stay in touch. Some of my performance product, Savage Strength program, that's a strength training program through criticalbench.com, and Strength Psychology, which has far and away been my most popular product, which is basically a video delivery of a self-help book, if you will, because not everybody likes to read. And it's just all geared towards helping people get more out of themselves, organizing their thoughts, organizing how they want to approach their life, and just really going for it. And that's it. Available at strengthpsychology.com.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, Mike, something's always puzzled me about people, too. And it's like, I don't understand. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's a combination. A lot of time, you know, things like time parameters and all that. But it's really amazing how people. It's very hard for them to put anything together. You know, I see it with people that come over here and I train. They seem very scattered in their thoughts. You know, their past with this stuff always seems to take a walk through their head, even when they're, you know, they first come on board. And the thing that I see the most with them is a very self-defeated attitude with a lot of things. And I've been trying to piece all these things together and, like, try to figure what's going on. Even like the younger kids here, they're good, and they're getting better and better. But there's a difference, man. I don't know. You know, I know they're doing a million things all the time. Where when I finally decided I was going to get into this stuff, and I never had any idea to the degree I am with it now. I abandoned every other sport, you know, because I was playing football, basketball, baseball, whether it was organized or not, and it was always both. But once I touched the barbell, that was the end. I knew I found what I really wanted to get into, and I was not doing any other sports anymore. And I felt at that young age, I think it benefited me a lot in regard to I had a simple, you know, tunnel vision focus. And I was either going to like it and get very good with it, or I was going to probably go back and play the old, same old sports or whatever. Now, my niece, my oldest niece, who just turned 14, is quite a long-distance runner. I mean, she is long and lean like a greyhound. And my other niece, who's a little bit more muscular, close to the same height and everything, she's 12. Now, she's going out. She's already started. She's not running long distance. It's a shorter distance, but I couldn't be happier. She's real interested in like throwing the shot and all that stuff. And she's very powerful. And she was telling me all about it yesterday when I was over at their house. That's kind of like what I like, you know, it's that, but what do you think? I mean, is it just all the stuff societal wise going on now? Hard to focus on one thing. Because we've got too many other things and you got too many other gadgets you got in your hand or in your pocket or whatever. What do you kind of see? And then we'll get right into procrastination.
Interesting question. I think I see a couple of different things. First off, and you sort of alluded to it, is there's no question that many things are competing for our attention.
Yep.
And the prevalence of those things is an issue. I mean, I think it's an issue for all of us, even those of us who are focused, you know how to get work done. There's just a lot of noise in the background. And I think that we're all susceptible to the distraction that all of those competing things offer. And it's very difficult now, I think, for people to just do things that require concentration because we're so enamored with the idea of being entertained. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're trying to download a video clip and it's taking a while to buffer, you start getting irritated. Mm-hmm. You know, 10 years ago, you would have been okay with it. 20 years ago, you would have been outside doing something else entirely. It's right. You know, So there's no question that, you know, we're progressively more entertained, and that just feeds the desire to be even more entertained. It's just like we can't sit still. We can't be quiet. And that is not helpful. Mm-mm. And then you combine that with, you know, being young, and that's all you know. You know, all mm-hmm. you know is this constant blinking, chirping universe where it's never been quiet. Things have never sat still. And, you know, how do you develop excellence when your brain is not necessarily wired for the types of habits and conduct that excellence requires? So mm-hmm. there's that aspect of it, which means that if you're going to be a young person and aspire to excellence in something, whether it's, you know, it's a sport or music or art, you're going to really have to find somebody who can speak that language and create the right environment where, you know, excellence can ultimately manifest. You know, you're going to have to, absolutely. You know, if a kid isn't intrinsically motivated to do something amazing, nobody's going to be doing anything amazing anymore because we're sort of losing touch with the type of focus that's necessary to do that. And then, of course, mm-hmm. we've got, and again, if we're talking about young people, it's so easy to contrast the young people because they're coming up in a culture that is, you know, fundamentally different than, you know, you're not a kid. I'm going to be 54 in a week. So, right. You know, I've kind of seen this long pendulum swing over a period of time. So you've got a lot of parents, very well-intentioned, well-meaning parents, that want to provide their kids, you know, a vast array of experiences. And mm-hmm. they want them involved in lots of different things. And the only downside to that, and I mean, that's great, you know, if you want your child to be the equivalent of a young Renaissance man or young Renaissance woman, fantastic. But if they're going to be really, really good at something, that's not necessarily the right type of stimulus. You know, you have to be able to sit down with something and really explore it and mm-hmm. really bond with it and, you know, develop the type of, you know, productive obsession that excellence requires. So I think we're going to see less and less people, at least, you know, in, you know, from the U.S., because in the U.S. we're an affluent society. We've got access to all of this stuff. I think we're going to be, you know, creating less and less excellent people. I think that the emphasis on, you know, not to pick on Tim Ferriss, and even if I do pick on Tim Ferriss, it's not going to matter. He's going to be just fine. But he sort of, with his 4-hour books, popularized this notion of life hacks.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no question that finding efficient ways of doing things is great. And it works fine for Ferriss because he's very motivated and he works hard. You know, he can apply himself, you know, very intently. Yep. But I think most people miss the point, and we're so hack focused that nobody wants to or is even interested in the idea of putting in real meaningful work. And in fact, I think that, you know, putting in the type of hours that excellence requires is sort of looked down on. You know,
yes.
It started back. This occurred to me, and I hope this isn't going too far afield.
No,
but I was pondering this notion and trying to come up with an analogy a week ago, and I was reminded that when I was a kid, the electronic game of choice was the only one that was around, which was pinball, and that's not even electronic; that's electromechanical, if you want to get technical. When I was in middle school, something came out called Pong, and it was the first electronic game. And of course, it's laughably primitive, you know, in comparison to what's available now. But I watched that progression. And even though, you know, Pong was electronic, and then Space Invaders, and then, you know, Pac-Man, you know, that era, it wasn't until Pac-Man came out that up until that point, you know, Asteroids, whatever it was, in order to play pinball well, you had to play pinball well. In order to play Pong well, you had to play Pong well. But when Pac-Man came out, so did something called cheat codes, because the game of Pac-Man was a computer program. There was a programmed sequence. And if you knew what the sequences were, you could get ridiculously high scores because you knew exactly where the protagonist character was going to move at any given time, and you could anticipate it. And as time went on, you know, video games become more sophisticated. I have a son. When he was growing up in the early 90s, he played video games at home on the home system, Mortal Kombat and what have you.
Yeah,
and
I remember them.
He would get magazines at Barnes & Noble that contained cheat codes. So even some of these more sophisticated games, there were still hacks. There were still shortcuts. And I think that that's sort of how we ourselves are now kind of programmed to approach things. What is the cheat code? We're always looking for the shortcut. And some things in life, shortcuts are great. But the really meaningful things in life, you know, you'll never be a great painter if you're always looking for a shortcut.
Yep.
You'll never be a great musician. You'll never be a great athlete unless you put in the work. And that, I think, is the inherent problem, because putting in work is not an attractive proposition.
Nope.
And it's, less so every day.
And I agree with you totally, because when you hear consistently and on a regular basis is, you know, you can be XYZ in 4 hours a day, you and I both know, unless you're really a special individual that's got everything, you know, tight to a T, and you and I both know life doesn't work that way. I mean, I was telling Mike about stuff that's been going on in my business that we're trying to straighten out, fix, and it's pretty much there. I never anticipated that. So that theory is going to be very hard to, if you aspire to that, to be able to carry out day in and day out, because life just doesn't work that way. And I got news for you. Go out and listen to a guy named Grant Cardone. Now, he'll tell you the complete opposite of it. You know, he can be pretty harsh the way he talks, but I think a lot of people at times need that. I mean, he's going to tell you that 4-hour workday basically is a bunch of bullshit. I mean, here's a guy that went from zero to, I believe he's a multi-millionaire now, and he understands. He goes, I don't take vacations. He goes, you know, we don't go very far. He says, we're constantly out trying to build the companies over and over again, invest. Just very good, sound advice, I think. And I think, you know, this is another thing I'm going to say, and we'll move right into today's topic, is this, Mike. I know people have good intentions. I think there's a lot of good people out there, and unfortunately you don't hear a lot about the good stories, the good people. But there's a lot of people that want to improve on their life. You know, they know if they retire, it might not be able enough, be enough money to cover them the rest of their life, or how they've lived or whatever. And they want to, you know, everybody wants to make money. I don't care who you are. Very few people do. You always aspire to a better life, better than what your parents had, et cetera, et cetera. But the damn problem is they want to buy these programs because they sound so good, and they figure, hey, all I got to do is watch this program and away we go. Well, that, it might help you, but it's not going to get it done for you. And, you know, I don't want to burst anybody's bubble, but I want to tell you, if you want something badly enough, not only are you going to have the most deep-seated belief in yourself when everybody else might be falling down around you and tell you you can't do it, but you're going to have to take the responsibility of this stuff and carry it in and out, day in and day out. And I got to tell you, some days it is just brutal. You feel like you've been in a 15-round fight 5 times in that day, where you know, maybe you're on one knee at this point. So all I want to say to you is this: any of this stuff, the bottom line is, I think Mike and I talked about, we talked about my niece Olivia on the last show. She is 10 years old, and she's already discovered to get to where she's got to get. She told me right away, I know how hard I've got to work to achieve it. Now, when a 10-year-old can tell you that, because I was over there last night, and I say to her every time, she and I were talking about business last night, believe it or not, and I said to her on the way out, like I always do, I said, you know something? You're going to be taking both companies and running them. And she always laughs, man. But she knows. She understands what I'm saying to her. So that's all I'll say with that, Mike. But I think that's where we are right now. And I agree. If you're not planning on working hard and investing a lot within yourself and helping others around you, I don't care what you read or who's been successful with it. Chances are it's not going to help. It's not going to work for you. So I'm sure that's kind of a downer sound. But you know, I don't like you know, telling people things that I, you know, from my experiences, I don't feel are true. You know, if there was one word, that little girl said it. You got two words: work hard. So let's talk about procrastination, unless you got anything to add. Go ahead and answer it.
Well, it wouldn't be very good form for me to put off the topic of procrastination. But, you know, if I could sum up what we've just been talking about.
Be my guest.
How many people do you know? We, guys like you and me, guys and gals who listen to this show, we know that there's two kinds of people. People who always want to train, and it's a small but the fanatical group, God bless them. And then there's regular people.
Yep.
And you're talking about, you know, people who buy books that, you know, might, you know, propose things like, you know, getting rich quick or even, you know, getting rich semi quick. No real difference between the people who buy those and oftentimes buy multiple volumes of books like that and never put it into practice. It's the same person who buys the home exercise equipment.
Yep.
And that thing ends up gathering dust or having laundry hung all over it.
Exactly.
Literally whatever the apparatus happens to be. Because we all understand the value of, you know, particular outcomes. We all understand the value of, you know, being healthy, of being fit. But even when we have secured the means to do it, the work still has to be done.
Yep.
And that's where we tend to fall down. It's in the application, not the acquisition.
And you know what the funny thing is? Well, it's not funny because I don't like seeing anybody lay out, because, you know, you and I both know these courses that some of the major people are putting out aren't cheap. I remember hearing Tony Robbins say one time, he goes, do you know the majority of people that are at this seminar for 3 days that spend thousands of dollars on product, they bring it home and it never gets taken out of the wrapper. Okay, so that's a bad thing right there. But you know something? And I know it's not sexy or anything to say this, but you just hit the nail right on the head. It's like, what else do you need to know? I mean, look, I can give you all the marketing whammy jammy all over the place, and obviously you want to explain your product and why you believe in it and how it worked. But I think I'd lead my seminar right off like this. To do any of the stuff I'm going to teach you, and we got to get this down right now, the words are hard work. You're going to have to make up your mind before you even open up that whatever you're buying here that you're going to work as hard as you can, as nonstop you can, and no matter what happens to you, you're going to see this thing through. If you can get people to understand it, we're going to have a lot more success with any products you and I together or anybody puts out, okay? Because if we can't establish that in the pupils that you have coming to see you, most people say to me, well, why would you care? They're buying your product. I do care. I wouldn't have done this if I didn't care. I can't make everybody think the way I do or do what I do, but I don't want them spending a ton of money on my stuff if they're not going to use it, but that's just me. So I'll leave it with that, and if you want to hit it, or if not, we'll go right into procrastination.
All right, let's move on.
Okay. Well, procrastination, that's a word that I hate, and we've all been guilty of it, but once again, it kind of flows with what we were just talking about, where what is it with people that if you can push it off to tomorrow, is it just human nature, or is it now, you know, we've become this society of like, well, the less I work, you know, I can still make a ton, which... unless you're extremely lucky, that's not going to happen. And now, too, especially, and I know procrastination has always been around, but what is it? Is it our nature? Is it just people are inherently lazy? What have you seen in your long life here?
Well, first off, procrastination is, as defined by Webster's, is to put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. And I think that sums it up pretty well, to put off intentionally the doing of something that should be done. And the interesting thing about procrastination is, you know, different people sort of have different senses of what it is. And, you know, in my own mind, I have procrastination issues. And okay. But if I compare myself to other people, which, you know, is seldom a productive activity, it would appear that I don't really have procrastination issues.
Right.
It's just that I'm impatient with myself and I want things to happen. And this isn't unique to me, obviously, but I want things to happen at a certain velocity. And when they don't, You know, I'm looking back to myself because I feel accountable for my own outcomes. But I have found that, even when you're highly motivated, you can manifest what looks like procrastination. Now, for example, when I was in college, I was also married, I had a baby, and I had gone from the military to college. I was not a typical college kid. And I was working a lot, you know, to help pay bills while I was in college. And, you know, despite the fact that I was working 30 plus hours a week, my wife was working, you know, so we're trying to take care of business on a variety of fronts. I still wanted to have good grades. That was important to me. So I was motivated. But my challenge in college is that up until I was in college, you know, my entire, you know, elementary through high school life, you know, I was a much different person. And I was, in addition to being a much different person, I was an abysmal student academically, horrible. To the point where when I was a sophomore in high school, I was tested to see if I might be a moron.
Oh, man.
Yeah, because my grades were so bad. Now, it's, you know, there were things that were occurring in my life. I never engaged with school. Yeah. I went to school and I read all day. And because school was kind of a safe place for me growing up because, you know, home was crazy and violent. So consequently, I didn't have years of success academically in my back pocket when I got to college. When I got to college, I had no real concept of effective study habits or even ineffective study habits. I had no study habits.
Right.
So all I could do was just, you know, show up and be very enthusiastic, you know, which I was. And I tried to be enthusiastic even in the classes that I didn't really care so much about because I still wanted to succeed. I still wanted to do well. But as a result, I think I spent more time studying ineffectively than I should have. Mm-hmm. And when it came to procrastination, there was one thing that always became an issue for me. I took certain classes that were writing emphasis classes, and some of them were what they call upper division writing emphasis classes. And I could write, and I could write pretty well. I was never unhappy with the quality of my writing, but I wrote so incredibly slowly because I was never – it took me a long time to become satisfied with what I put down.
Yep.
And, you know, that whole idea of, you know, once it's down, it's permanent. And I needed it to be of a certain quality. So I found that I would delay writing assignments to like the day before.
Yep.
And when I was a junior and senior in college, every paper I wrote was being finished the night before it was due. Yep. And I had this goofy rationale for this because I got an A on every paper.
Yep.
So I justified my procrastination as though, well, this is just my process. It's like somehow I'm more of a genius if I wait and I'm just, you know, banging something out in a blind panic.
Yep.
And every time I would get an A, so all that would do was just reinforce, you know, a not particularly smart way of going about this.
Yep.
So I share that simply because I think we do that kind of nonsense a lot. I think, you know, if we're reasonably bright, we can find all kinds of creative ways to justify putting stuff off. Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I'm still gathering data. I don't want to rush into any decision. You know, there's still somebody I want to talk about. You know,
exactly.
Whatever it happens to be. And I think that in some cases, you know, in my case, I just didn't want to do a crappy job.
Right.
And I was probably afraid of disappointing myself. So I would put it off until it could not be put off anymore.
Yep.
And that's how that went. So I think that, you know, I don't think that was laziness in that particular instance, but it was a kind of avoidance. It was an avoidance strategy. And my readings on, you know, procrastination is that psychologists say that procrastination is sort of a struggle with the issue of self-control. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that gets back to, you know, things that, you know, we talk about on the program and you talk about with other guests on the program, because it gets to the same type of dynamics that, you know, why don't more people exercise if they know it's good for them? Why don't more people stop eating crap if they know it's bad for them? Well, it's a struggle with the whole issue of self-control.
Yeah.
And, you know, so there's that. And then there's that whole thing that is kind of like, you don't want to write a bad term paper. You know, like Mike, college student Mike Gillette didn't want to write a crappy paper, didn't want to disappoint himself, you know, wanted to do well, and was a little bit fearful of, you know, just turning out something that was kind of average.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know, I would paint myself into a corner time-wise until I had – you know, that last limited stretch, and I had to produce. And And I almost wonder if it would have been better if I would have gotten a C- on one of those papers to kind of jog me out of, you know, that ludicrous process that I called it of waiting till the last minute. But you know, there you go.
You know what? I didn't mean to interrupt, but you know something? I kind of work like that way now, and when I'm listening to you tell me about the papers, and, you know, we can go in more if you're still doing it with other things, I seem to work a lot better under the gun. I always work hard, believe me. But when there's a lot, like just now, I just got an email from Site5. Within an hour, I'll have the websites all straightened out. It's all done. They're just syncing it now. That makes me happy as hell. But before I called Mike, I had to take care of this because people couldn't get out to the websites because of some SSL issues, okay? It's very important. We can't have those things down, all right? So that put the pressure on me to get it done and contact the right people. Now, in your case with the term papers and stuff, I do that a lot here with what I got to do. You're going a million different directions. And people are constantly, you know, needing to talk to you, or you've got to set up shows, or people are sending you stuff for the blog to put up, et cetera, et cetera. And now all the other business we're doing to make all the big changes to both companies we're in the process of, which will start today now. But in my case, I kind of am the same way as you. I seem to produce, like, insanely good when like somebody's got a thumb on one half of my body and I can barely move it, but the other side can go, right? And I seem to be very good like that. And it can be very, you and I both know, it can become very uncomfortable too. I mean, you don't always want to be under the gun, but some of us are just kind of natured to work that way. So I used to do the same thing with that with school too. I got in more trouble in school for either having stuff in late or not complete, and then when I would complete it, you know, they take off, obviously, for not having it when you had it, but writing was always a very strong suit of mine, too. It's very strong in my family. We got many people in the media field here. If it's not media, it's in the hospital end or teachers, okay? So it's definitely something that is in my DNA. Procrastination, yeah, I'm like anybody. I do it now and then, but you know what I find? Now, especially, and I'm going to get back to the physical end of things. You and I both know, and especially you're dealing with a lot of younger kids, especially with the gymnasts, and you've done this for a long time too, so you and I can really hit the note, and I want to see what you say to this. I think weight training has kind of curtailed a lot of procrastination with me, and I'll tell you why. You and I both know, you and I have done some major things. I'm sure you got tons of more goals once that arm gets straightened out, as myself. We can't really afford to procrastinate at this point now, in a lot of ways, all right? And I think what's happened is we go back to that word. I love to use structure. you know, especially when you hear kids say, people say about kids, well, they don't have any structure. Well, how are they going to get any structure if you're not going to lead, if you're not going to set by example? And I'm going to go back to this right now. I'm going to tell you this. Besides my parents, you know, bringing us up so well and with Jimmy, and we had such a nice cohesive family, and I think it was even more so because of Jimmy. But the weight room out there has taught me, and this is no slap to my parents, just as much, because I just don't think that you can go through life with what we do. And we're guilty of it now and then, but you and I can't be, I'll say this word, like serial procrastinators, because you and I both know if we're doing that, your business is going to go down the pipe, because you're only going to be able to do that for so long. And it's the same way with your training or anybody that's depending on you to train them. So as we always say, as my dad always said, lead by example. I was like, okay, Dad, you've told me that now a billion times. It's sunk in, but it has sunk in finally to me. So what's your thoughts on that, Mike?
That's an interesting distinction. You know, I think that, part of procrastination is that it's defined by each of us in a particular way. And yep. Even if we are the kind of person that tends to get a lot done, tends to be very focused, I can still see the examples of where I'm not being that.
Yeah.
You know, because there are things that every person does not want to do, or at least doesn't get excited about doing.
Right.
And, I know people who are so disciplined that they bite off little chunks of everything and they do a little bit of all of their different tasks every day. And I'm always impressed by that because, and again, it may be because I have various elements of undiagnosed ADD, which I've long suspected, but, they dealt with that when I was a kid differently. They would smack you and tell you to shut up and sit down in your chair and,
absolutely,
do your work. There was no medications in my day. But in any event, I find that I have to go task by task. I sort of immerse myself in a particular thing, and then I have to kind of transition out of that in order to attack the next task. I'm not a lazy person. I seem to get done things that other people are not able to. But because I have high standards and high expectations, I look at those things that aren't getting done.
Mm-hmm.
So, a little bit of procrastination, I think, is actually perspective, and perception. Are you really procrastinating, or do you just have a ridiculous level of expectations in terms of what you think you can get done? And at this point in my life, and you alluded to this, and that is a great point, we can't really afford to procrastinate, in its textbook sense. At my age, like I said, I'm going to be 54 in a week, which means I'll be 1 year away from ordering off the seniors menu at IHOP. put that in perspective. So with respect to the physical kinds of things that I like to do and I still aspire to do, there is no time for wasting time. It's not one of those things that I can get to next year or the year after that. It's all about, keeping the foundation that I've laid, being very smart and diligent about perpetuating the things that I've done to, lay that physical foundation and then improve upon it, which not only means I don't have the ability to procrastinate, I also don't really have the luxury of making mistakes. I have to be extremely smart about how I do everything, from here on out. So I take all of that very seriously. Every day, it's cliche to say this, every day is a gift, but it is.
It is.
Every workout is a gift. Every, if you are a married person and you value your married life, every time you're with your spouse, that's a gift,
Yeah.
And, TikTok, all of that, you know, changes the intensity with which we can pursue all of life's pleasures, physically speaking. You know, there's a transitional aspect to it. So yep. As long as I can be at my optimum, I'm going to be at my optimum. I'm not going to let anything take that away.
Yep.
And some of that has to do with much of what I do now is not really for me. It's
right.
to show other people, you know, whether yep. it's, you know, it's kids in an inner city school or adults that, you know, just need a jolt, you know, from what an old guy can do. Mm-hmm. It's really more about that. A lot of the stuff that I do is really about encouraging other people and basically banging the drum on the whole notion of what's reasonable or what's possible. So mm-hmm. if you approach your training with the perspective of, I mean, and this is something that really is kind of a holdover back when I was a young guy and I was in the Army. When I was training really hard, it wasn't for me. Yeah. It was literally for God and country. That's where I was at.
Yep.
And if you're training for God and country, brother, you can go hard.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, just it allows the mind to go places rather than, you know, I just want to get in shape for a 10K.
Exactly.
So when I was a cop, you know, for 12 years, I was not training for me. I was training for the people who I was hoping I would be able to help, you know, in crunch time.
Yeah.
So again, when something is bigger than you,
yep.
you can get to a different place. And, you know, if we're talking about things as mundane sounding as procrastination, because everybody talks about it, nobody does anything about it.
Exactly.
Anybody who has been procrastinating with respect to, you know, fixing the way they eat or yep. becoming active, you know, it's not just about you. There are people who count on you. There are
yeah.
people who love you. There are people who will not be the same if you're not around for as long exactly. as you possibly can. You know, if you can get to that place mentally, you know, use some of their strength if you're having a hard time getting started. You know, don't make it so much about you and geez, exercise right. is boring or vegetables don't taste good or what
right.
whatever the hang up is, because we've
yep.
all got them.
Yep.
You know, and just, you know, reach out and connect with all of those other people in your life that, you know, you mean something to, that you're a big mm-hmm. part of, that you're connected to, and see if that doesn't make you a stronger person.
Well, without a doubt, and I'll tell you this, you don't want procrastination to become an habitual habit with you, because it'd be like, you know, standing in quicksand, you're just going to keep going down, 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 down. Those are not things you want to do. You know, habits are, you and I both know, and we've talked a little bit here and there about habits, man. You know, everybody's talking about, well, things that you say and this and that can be habit forming. Yeah, it sure can. And being someone that constantly procrastinates, that can become a very dangerous habit for you. And the only way that it's like anything, you can't change anything in a day, no matter what you do. You know, Mike's talking about eating habits. There's life that's bigger. Life is way bigger than you and I, you know, just sitting here talking. There's so many things around us. There's so many things we want to aspire to do. And I'm going to tell you right now, you are not going to get there when you're procrastinating everything. And you think to yourself, well, I'll do it tomorrow, you know. I've got to move three or four things from, you know, down from the kitchen down to your cellar, basement, whatever you want, or out to the garage. Well, I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow will come and you'll look at it and say, I'll get it this weekend. You know, and before you know it, you're starting to trip over it now because you haven't moved it. That's what I'm talking about. Little things like even moving one box to another place. And just keep putting it off or making an excuse. This stuff is going to become a habit with everything you do. And I said it before, you're going to get nowhere. And see, I try now. The only reason why I push stuff off is because it just depends how busy the day is. Could I do it? Yeah, but I've learned something, Mike, recently. And I'm not going to get into all the intricate things with this both businesses here. But there's been a massive amount of things. You know, it's growing exponentially every day, bigger, and I thank God for that and everybody associated with it. And there's so many other facets of the business that people don't see, and Mike can attest to that. But what I've done, too, is I've done a thing where I call it draw down a little bit, and I'll tell you why I do it. Because if at times you don't draw yourself down, you can end up blowing yourself right out, literally where, you know, in my case, I might not be able to speak for a week. Well, that's going to hurt the show. It's going to hurt everybody that listens to it, and it's surely going to hurt us from gaining more notoriety and, you know, bringing money in to run this thing, because this show is very expensive every month to run. So all I can say is, you know, yeah, we're all going to procrastinate. There's no doubt about it. But I think when you have a good structure, especially if you own a business and you know that you have to get things done. Hey, look, I can't wait and pay my bills to my big host company for this show, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to shut me off. If that happens, then I'm dead in the water. So there's going to just be some things in life you can't procrastinate with. So you know something? If you can take care of the bigger things, maybe you can start taking care of the smaller things, and eventually you can get it down to something, I'll just call it manageable. I don't even know if that would be the word, but I guess that's the closest thing that I'm saying. Don't do it anymore. So it's back to you, Mike.
Okay. One of the things that this is sort of like my closing thought with respect to procrastination. One aspect of procrastination in terms of how we define it is that I think procrastination is sometimes a euphemism. It's sometimes a pleasant way of talking about something that's actually much deeper. Sometimes people refer to procrastination when what they're actually talking about is stuff they never intend to do.
Right.
Oh, I just, you know, I know I need to go on a diet, but, you know, I just procrastinate.
Yep.
Oftentimes, those are the words of somebody who are never going to do anything to help themselves out. And that's when procrastination is not actually procrastination. That's when procrastination is really just a softer word of fear.
Yep.
And I think that much of the time, that's what people are really dealing with. Yep. You know, you're not avoiding something if you have no intention of ever doing it. That's just you lying to yourself.
Yep.
You know, I'm calling it procrastination. I'm calling it, you know, well, I'm avoiding it, but I'll get to it. It's like, you know, so yep. Oftentimes, no, you won't.
No.
And it's just a fear issue. You know, whether yep. it's, you know, I don't want to start a diet because I've done that before and I've always crashed and burned and I just don't like the horrible way I feel when I fail. So I'm not going to put myself through that again. You know, yeah. As crappy as I feel right now, you know, winded going up and down the steps, I just don't want to feel like a failure anymore. So I'm just not yeah. going to think about it. I'll procrastinate thinking about it. You know, so maybe that's where the procrastination comes, is just, you know, we just sort of avoid the crappy reality that we're creating for ourselves.
Without a doubt.
So
go ahead.
I wanted to share a thought by somebody who is, I think, very smart, even though it's in an area, if you follow, because you're a business guy, marketing guru Seth Godin.
Yep.
Yeah, his blog is just, that guy is so incisive with just a few words. He's a genius. And even when he's talking about marketing, it just expands into so many areas. He's absolutely brilliant. So it's an anecdote followed by a comment by Seth. I say like Seth, you know, just using his first name kind of suggests that maybe we know each other and hang out. He has no idea who I am.
Okay.
In any event, you know, talking about procrastination, you know, there's an old story, you know, it's kind of a joke. It may have actually happened. No one has been able to verify this, but the story goes that a tourist, and this is, you know, decades ago, a tourist is in New York and he's on the streets. He unknowingly runs into legendary classical pianist Arthur Rubinstein, you know, just on the streets of Manhattan. The tourist, he's looking for New York's most famous concert venue, and he asks Rubinstein, has no idea who he is, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? To which Rubinstein allegedly responds, practice, practice, practice. Now, on the topic of practice, what Seth Godin said is practice is another word for preparation. And you know, we're talking about procrastination here, but for so many people, it's not a question of being prepared. Preparation isn't the same as ready.
Yep.
Being ready is an emotional choice, which means that there are even those people who do the work, but they're still not ready.
Yep.
And they won't pull the trigger. And that kind of takes us back to sort of my last thought on the topic, which is fear.
Yeah.
Gets in the way of so many things. You know, and when it gets in the way of us doing things that are good for us or productive for us or would help us or other people, that's when we really need to look hard inwardly and get that stuff sorted out.
Yeah.
Because the thing about fear is that people are sort of conditioned to, well, I'm not going to do that thing. Why? Because I'm afraid.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to the point where we accept that as a valid excuse not to do something. Oh, well, geez, if you're afraid, then by all means, don't do it. Mm-hmm. What the hell? But that's where we are.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, you know, the gospel of Mike Gillette includes the verse, you know, feel the fear, do it anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, many's the time in my professional life when I did not have the luxury of not doing something because I was afraid.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, there were lives potentially, you know, hinging on decisions that I would make or not make.
Yep.
You know, just do the thing. And over time, when you have done things whilst afraid. And I mean, you know, this isn't just, you know, good guys and bad guys kinds of stuff. I deal with this with athletes all the time.
Yep.
You know, athletes who are, you know, they get into a competition situation and they freeze up. They're afraid.
Yep.
It's because somebody has told them that, well, geez, if you're afraid, you know, maybe we should all just, you know, sit down and hug it out.
No. Yeah. Hug it out.
Just do the thing.
Yep.
You know, people do things every day that are amazing while being completely afraid, while being nervous, while not being comfortable, while fill in the blank.
Yep.
And if we can get to the point where we can, you know, feel difficult emotions and still execute the task, you're going to be better at doing that in the future. And then over time, you start to become one fearless son of a gun.
Yeah.
Because you realize that stuff doesn't have to get in the way. And there's going to be times, I mean, you can't be in a competition situation and not be nervous. Yeah, I mean, that's an exceedingly rare individual. I mean, yeah, there's a couple of people out there like that, you know, that don't overthink things and they're just like, they're all about execution and they just don't get mentally hogtied. But that's a minority. Most of us, if we're about to do something and it has meaning to us, if we are invested in the outcome, we're going to have some difficult emotions swirling around about that. But despite that, we need to soldier on. We just need to go.
Yeah.
It's all about going.
Well, and you know what it is too, Mike? It's just like what you're talking about to me, how I'm understanding it is this. You're developing habits. And good habits as well as bad habits will make or break you. And, you know, any of us, anybody that tells you when you go into a meet or you're going for a big lift or whatever it is you're doing that's extremely physical and mental in its process, You're going to be nervous. You're going to be kind of rattled, too. It's all, you know, I always believe, man, all, you know, do your crying in the gym, you know, do your misses at the gym. Have your explosions mentally in the gym, because what happens there, you can never be prepared for everything, but boy, oh boy, you're going to have quite a bit of preparation. You're not going to have the fears a lot of people are going to have, and you're going to be able to go into whatever you choose to take on, and either you're going to whip it fully, it's going to whip you, or maybe you draw the line in the sand and say, I'm coming back another day to get you. So I just think that, you know, there, you know, it's amazing when, like, you and I talk about stuff. It's just like, I don't think people really understand, man, oh, man, there's just so many things going on with us, you know, mentally, physically. I don't know if I can even draw the two apart at that point. And there's so many things you don't know what's going on with that you're trying to capture and figure and all this. We as individuals, one-on-one, together, separate, whatever, the human being is so unique. And it's like, my whole thing always has always been be the best you can be in everything. Strength is a great thing, but like I say on the end of the shows, man, you know, your inner strength, what you lend to people, you know, when you talk to someone, how you address someone, your respect, not only, because if you have no respect for yourself, you can't respect others. All these things matter, and they're going to carry you in the way you want to go. And these fears we talked about and this procrastination and all this, well, we're always going to have them. There's no way that we're not. It's always going to be a part of who you are. But let me tell you, once you can build upon each success, this stuff will be minimized more and more. And I'll leave it at there. If you got anything you want to add, Mike, be my guest. If not, give out all your information. I'll give mine. And just stay on the line, if you would, a moment, please.
Absolutely. No, I think we crushed it today.
we always crush it. It's always
good,
man.
I think that, people just need to understand that, you know, feeling afraid, it's like being tired. It's like being hungry. It's just like, oh, I guess I'm afraid. Okay, fine.
Yep.
Acknowledge it and then plow ahead. Just keep going and just be amazing. People can connect with me at MikeGillette.com, MikeGillette.com. That's where they'll find tons of encouraging content, my social media channels. It's a great way to stay in touch with everything that I've got going on. People that want to explore physical training as sort of designed by Mike Gillette, they can look at my excellent book from Dragon Door, Rings of Power, all about ring training for strength, no crazy gymnastics tricks, just all very straight ahead, very graduated. It doesn't matter where you are, there's a place for you to start. And the Savage Strength Program, which has got a crazy name, but it's a very sound program, and that's available at criticalbench.com. And it's ebooks, it's workout log, it's a video course on how to perform each individual exercise and how to perform each different workout variation. And then my most popular course, probably my most important course, strengthpsychology.com. Strengthpsychology.com is where you'll find the Psychology of Strength program.
Nice. Did you give out all the sites and all that too, Mike?
That's all of them.
It's everything. Okay. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, also Athlete's Choice at Steven Santangelo, Primal Creations at AOL.com, Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75, Grassland Beef, John Wood, loaded with CLAs and omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished. Also, too, 8xclub.com. They make adjustable exercise clubs and maces. And like I said, Donnie and I are going to be running a contest, I believe, at the end of this month, so stay tuned for that. StrongerGrip.com. Also, the three biggest products to date is going to be our free ebook, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. Go out there, just give us your email address and download the book. 10 paragraphs, man, they're going to make you think. I don't need to write a 500-page book to just get that across to you. Just check that out. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Strength Times Power, and in the Winner's Circle. Like I said, you want some success in your life. Both programs are very straightforward. They hit the nail right on the head, and I'm always here if you need any help, and we're in the process right now. I've got so much material that I want to put out. It's unbelievable, so we'll get to that too. Also, too, sponsorship is huge here. That's at FiorellaBarbellCo.com, and Motivation and Muscle, it's $500 a month. Get signed on with a winner. That's all I can tell you. We're going to be around for 25 years. We want you to come into my family, join up, and let's just strike the bargain and work together forever and help one another out. That's what it's all about. So go out to either FiorelloBarbellCo.com or Motivation Muscle. The form is there. It's very easy, self-explanatory to fill out, and let's get working together for the next 25 years. Also, too, FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationandMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've gotten, and I thank everybody for that. If there's a show you'd like Mike Gillette and myself to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and you can give us anything. I know we can pull it off easily. Next, too, don't forget Facebook, Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. And also, too, we are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you off with these 5 things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give somebody kind words, inspiration, motivation. Get them going again, man, and that's what we all should be doing. We got a lot of strength, all of us, everybody on this show. But, man, like I just said to Mike, push it through mentally to people. Let them know that there's hope for them. Just keep rolling with it. I try to do it with anybody who talks to me about lifting. I try to leave them when I walk away from saying, hey, if I had given up on it, I'm going to try it again, and if I've never tried it, I'm going to give it a shot. If we can get people going like that, this is just going to be the best thing. Secondly, as my mom said, when we were kids, never be afraid to give somebody a smile or a low. That might be all they get for that day. And if you're going to go out and lift like I am tonight, go out and twist, bend, push, pull, press, whatever you want to do, and take your stones and turn them into dust. As the great Hoos of Steel, Crush Your Stone, says in blood red, domination, we are domination, we are millions strong. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone. And what I always say on everything now is dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Don't walk around anything. Take it on. That will make you a hell of an individual. And as I always say, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as the great Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. That was one of the greatest compliments I ever got, Russell, and that will be said to the day we sign off. Mike Gillette, as I always say, another masterpiece, and thank you for coming on, sir.
Always a pleasure. Take care, my brother.
Okay, and I'll just hang on, and I'll talk to you for a minute. So this is Eric Fiorello and Mike Gillette. I want to thank you for being on the show, Mike, obviously. And remember this, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the sidelines and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends because we're coming for them regardless. I got John Johnson on in a little while, and hopefully we're going to have everything straightened out and I can start getting some podcasts up because I want to get Mike's up. I hope I can get his up tomorrow. We should know within the hour if everything went. So have a great week, and remember this. Everybody's a winner, man. If you want to be an entrepreneur, go for it. I didn't say anything I hope to dissuade you. Oh, I can just tell you this. It's the greatest feeling in your life when you got passion for what you do. And I know you hear that from everybody. I'm telling you from a guy that is damn lucky. That's all I'm going to tell you. So have a great week. Go out and do something magnificent. And Mike and I will talk to you in May. Have a good week.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.